I'm only going to read about three verses. I like John chapter 5. I could read the whole thing, but I just want to read three verses, beginning in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now at the start of this passage, certain Jews are out to kill Jesus again. You run across that several times. It's always because of the same thing. It's because of what Christ said.
Yeah.
They got mad at him for what he did. They tried to kill him for what he said.
Yeah.
Guess what? Nothing ever changes. Mm-hmm. The words of Christ will make people mad enough to kill today.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we have police that will put a stop to it, hopefully, or at least the fear of them will. But it still happens today. In their minds, these Jews' minds, and it says certain Jews, not all Jews, certain Jews, he had broken the Sabbath. In their minds, he had broken the Sabbath by healing a man on the Sabbath day. Then Christ told him he was only doing the work his Father does. And he was doing it the way the Father did it. And then they got mad and wanted to kill him. Because that didn't help the attitude of these Jews at all. As a matter of fact, they got even madder when he spoke to them. Christ told them the truth, verily, verily. Everything he said was true, whether he said verily, verily, the beginning of it. But he wanted to pay particular attention to this. Christ told these religious Jews the truth, and it made it even worse for them. Speaking the truth of Jesus Christ has been upsetting people for over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
If we just walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus, everybody'd love us. What Bible are them people reading?
That's right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
What Bible are these people reading? He walked like Christ. He talked like Christ. They tried to kill him, Mason. More than once. Yeah, I'm sure glad people are much better today than they used to be. That was sarcasm, you know. Nothing has gotten any better in the last 2,000 years as far as acceptance of the truth of Christ is concerned.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, people have gotten worse.
Yeah.
Paul wrote to Timothy almost 2,000 years ago. Things have changed. Things have gotten worse because of people. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and they have. He said, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, walking like Jesus gets you persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is a fact that is glossed over or ignored by most people, preachers and scholars included. The biggest and worst prosecutions of God's people and of Christ himself were by religious people.
Yeah.
In Christ's day, it was the Jewish leaders. In Paul's day, it was the Jewish leaders and idolatrous leaders. Great is Diana, goddess of the Ephesians. True religion, the truth of God as it is in Christ, always has, had, always has, and always will have enemies.
Yeah.
The truth of Christ always has enemies. It is hated right now. Every Sunday, pulpits are filled with those who will not have this man who spoke these words to reign over them in this holiday season. It's not Christmas without Christ. I'll tell you something, it's not Christmas with Christ. We were coming by Maranatha there in Princeton. Receive God's holy gift, Christ Jesus. Because whosoever will may come. Now forget about that part where it says no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him, and him I will raise up at the last day. You can forget about it. Just receive the gift. But you got to come get it. But you take the first step and God will meet you. The first step is for God to raise you from the dead. That's right here. That's the first step. Now, if you can take that step, you can receive his gift. I don't think you can. Because the Bible says you can't.
That's right.
Not only you won't, you can't.
Yeah.
But these Jews and this world today will not have this man to reign over them. They would not have it. So Christ told them more.
Yeah, he did.
He told them more of the work of the Father and the Son. Why? Well, one reason is so that we've got it written down right here. For our benefit. And for the benefit of those who came before us, these words were recorded by the Holy Spirit. Men moved with fear and wrote them down. And it is for our benefit. So that one, right now, we have a record of the words of Jesus Christ, the Christ of God, stating his work on this earth and yet to come. One of the other reasons was that if Jesus was going to keep talking to men, he's going to keep telling the truth. He wasn't going to lie. Jesus Christ did not sugarcoat or pussyfoot around the truth of God. God raises the dead and gives them life. But wait, there's more. This is the work that I do too. He told them the Son quickeneth whom he will, makes alive whom he will. He said it in verse 19. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Just the same way. The Son does the same work that the Father does. The Father gives life to the dead. The Father came to those who were polluted in their own blood and tells them, live. Guess what the Son does? He comes to those that were polluted in their own blood and he says unto them, live.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? They live.
Yeah.
They may still be dumb as a post. But they're a live post.
Yeah.
Hey, when I was converted, I was dumb as a box of hammers. As far as the truth of Christ was, I didn't know what it was. But he doesn't leave you there. But life comes first.
Yeah.
Life has to come first. Christ said it here. I was listening to that fella, the one you went and seen in Smyrna, Jim
McLarty.
Yeah. I was listening to one of his discs the other day. Deb and I were in the kitchen listening to him. He was talking about irresistible grace. And while he was talking, I don't know if he said these exact words or not, because it just kind of clicked in my head. You know, grace has got to be irresistible. Because we're dead before he comes. If it's not irresistible, it's not grace. Thank you, Mac. It's not grace. And if it's not irresistible, I'm still dead. It's his work. That's what Christ said. It's his work. It's God's work and it's my work. And he told that to those religious people, and they hated it.
Yeah.
And they hate it today, that it's God's work.
Yeah, they hate that.
They want it to be, well, you know, to be honest, some of them, God helps. But it's God and man. You've got to come. Oh, you'll come.
Amen.
He'll come. You'll come. He'll make you come.
Yeah.
He'll make you come to the front of a church if you're so inclined. To profess that you believe him. He won't make you come to the front of church to get saved. He won't make you go into the waters of baptism to get saved. You'll profess that he is Lord because you are saved. Because you are alive. And because the Spirit has taught you of him. The Son does what he has seen and learned of the Father. You know, Walter, it almost seems like these two agree in one. And if you want to put in the Holy Spirit, these three agree in one. Because they are one. The Father and the Son have no secrets from one another. They don't tell us everything. But they don't have any secrets between themselves. The Son knows what the Father does. The Father knows what the Son does. And the Spirit knows all of it. And they know the Spirit. These three are one. They don't tell us everything. Some things are known only to God.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I've had this in the back of my mind for, well, now a couple of months, because we haven't been here for a while. Now, I have always disliked the bumper stickers, and I've always disliked the t-shirts, and I've always disliked the little bands they put on their arms with the initials WWJD. Now, it's not so much that I disapprove of what would Jesus do. I disapprove of the attitude that's behind all of that stuff and the meanings behind it. They've got bumper stickers, bracelets, necklaces, t-shirts. And most people have the thinking, and they apply this to what would Jesus do in the situation that I am in now. Would Jesus Christ go to the movie? Would he smoke a cigarette or have a beer? You know? Would he go to that party where they'd have alcohol served? Would Jesus be honest? I'm sorry, if you have to ask that question, you got some problems, okay? Would Jesus Christ be honest and tell the truth? I think he would. The part that makes me mad about it is they don't want to know. They don't really want to know what Jesus Christ would do. And I'll lay you odds, when they would walk in that temple, they wouldn't have thought that Jesus Christ would have walked in there and knocked all those of them tables over and run them people out of the temple. Because Jesus wants to get everybody in. No, he wanted some people out. And guess what? He put them out. He ran them out with a scourge, a whip. You mean Jesus wants some people out of church? Oh, yeah. Now, they don't want to know the truth of Christ. I have found this out through personal experience. They don't want to know what Jesus has done. They do not want to know what Jesus is doing, and they don't want to know what he will do. And the reason for that is what Jesus has done is the same thing he's doing.
Yeah, right.
And what Jesus will do is the same things that he's done. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not doing anything different than he's ever done before, and he's not doing anything different than what the Father does. It's what he wrote. It's what's written here. It's what he said. He is angry when men try to make merchandise of his Father's house.
Yeah.
Or try to make merchandise of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Amen.
He does not commit himself to everyone who states that God is on my side. I do like what Henry Mahan said about that. That's a paraphrase. You don't have a side. God's not on your side. You don't have a side. You better be on who's on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
And that was somebody asked?
Yeah.
Who's on the Lord's side? And it didn't happen like that movie in the Ten Commandments, where God come down and killed people. No, you took up the sword and you slew people.
Yeah.
Your brethren. Mm-hmm. They weren't your brethren. Because they weren't on the Lord's side. And that's your new family. That's the real family. That's the family in the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ has saved everyone that believes him.
Yeah.
Because you won't ever believe him until he has given you life. That's the story of this scripture today. What would Jesus do? Jesus Christ makes alive. He makes alive. That's a statement of fact, not supposition. As the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth. Christ had just told these Jews that he did what the Father did. The Father healed on the Sabbath. You know, anybody healed is because of God.
Yeah, sure.
If you can find yourself an honest doctor, and yes, that's very hard to do, but I had one once. He has since retired and gone away. But he looked at me one time, he said, the best we can do is to help the body heal itself. They sew up your skin, but they don't heal. They just put things together so the body, so the skin can knit together and the muscle and the tissues and everything else. They set the bone so the bone can knit back together all by itself. And David said, what, how fearfully and wonderfully I am made. The body tries to heal itself. Now it is corrupt. It is cursed. But it still works. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Anybody that ever gets well on a Sabbath day is because God healed him.
Amen.
And Christ healed a man on the Sabbath day just like his Father's done. The Son quickens whom he will. That is also the Son's work. Now, the question is, that arises from this, is whom does the Son quicken?
Yeah.
That's the question that'll scare the dickens out of preachers.
Yeah.
He gave us the answer right here.
Mm-hmm.
Whom he will.
He will.
It's not who wants it. It's not who deserves it. It's not who asks for it. It's whom he will. Just like the Father. Did Lazarus ask to be quickened? I don't believe Lazarus was talking at all. Well, now there's another story to that, but you know, he may have been talking in Abraham's bosom over there, but that's a whole other thing. But even, you know, while Christ stood outside that tomb, he said, roll it away. And he said, Lord's been 4 days. He stinks. Because dead people stink. Yes, we do. That's all right. Roll the stone away anyway. All you dead people stink. But I'm still going to raise whom I will. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, not asking for any of it. Now, his sisters were asking, but Lazarus wasn't saying a thing. He quickens whom he will. Christ makes alive whom he will. Dead people can't come. Dead people can't call out. Dead people can't do anything except be dead. That's the definition of dead. The dead don't eat, they don't drink, they don't breathe, they don't talk, and they don't move. Dead people can't come to him.
Yeah.
The Bible states it this way. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Alter it. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The quickening has to happen for the formerly dead and now alive person to believe and come to God. Nobody comes to God without Christ.
Amen.
Nobody comes to God without believing. Nobody comes to God without being made alive. And nobody is made alive without Christ.
Yeah.
Who quickens? Whom he will. Go on, John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And in case they will say, well, he draws every man. And I will raise him up on the last day. Is that every man? I don't think so. And he said, therefore said I unto you, again in John 6, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. What the Father does, the Son does. What the Son does, the Father did. What would Jesus do? He raises the dead. Just like his Father did. He makes alive whom he will, just like his Father did. That's how people were saved in the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus is doing. And that is what Jesus will do until he comes. Till he's made alive all of the children that the Father gave to him before the world began. These children are his sheep. This is what Jesus would do. And I give unto them eternal life. and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And if you want to, go ahead and try. Because he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. This is what Jesus does. This is what Christ will do until he comes again. Because no man can seize them out of his hand or the Father's hand.
Yeah.
The life that Christ gives is, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal, the love that Christ has for his people is eternal. And the hope that Christ is for his people is real. We're in this world as believers, but we're not of it. And every now and then it gets really depressing because of what goes on in and around this world. The news can just bring you way down. And then going to work just kind of drives a spike in it. But there's another foundation that stands sure. Jesus Christ quickens whom he will. He quickens them when he will and where he will, and nothing, no one is ever plucked out of his hand. He is saving his people from their sins. He died and he rose again, and there'll be all kind of heresy going around this month, next week, because of it. Because they won't have the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and they won't have it. I guarantee it. You can go to the living Christmas tree. You can go to the nativity scenes, whether they're made out of hubcap halos or whatever. And the part of baby Jesus probably by a 25-watt light bulb. They won't have the God, Jesus Christ, the God who quickens whom he will. They will not have him. But his people will have him. Because he will give it to them. And when he gives you something, you got it. That's a Christmas gift. That's the way I give Christmas gifts. I got it. I give it to you. It's yours. I don't care whether you throw it away. God gives you something, you're going to have it. And you'll love it. Even though you didn't ask for it and didn't want it before you got it. He'll quicken whom he wills. He quickens whom he will. And then they come to him. They learn of him. And they come to him. And they have eternal, everlasting life.
Yeah.
Our Father, we're thankful again for this place and this time. But most of all, we're thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and is seated at your right hand, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And his enemies will be put under his feet. And Lord, we ask for your blessing as we go forth in this world. Because we need it, and we desire it, and we want to know more of you, and more of of your Son, our Lord, in whose name we ask. Amen.